He's a strong character, and it makes him stronger. When you speak to him, he's fine. And I just cannot believe we still sit here in 2019 talk about these instances. Twitter, of course, is, or social media is a place where, as Harry said, people can hide behind fake identities. I don't think it's down to me to change it, but there's so many Ole Gunnar Solskjaers on Twitter and social media that I know is not me. And of course, we've got to do something about it, and the authorities got to do something about the ones who spread this hate. And you just feel sorry for them, really. They must have problems themselves when they have to do this.
That's Red News Podcast 52, and that was Ollie yesterday, and really that's all that needs to be said. It's fucking 2019, and I could go on and on about it. Could be a young kid in his fucking pants who's 13 just trying to be a dick, or it's fucking some non-United fan posting abuse. But at the end of the day, stop fucking posting bile. We're better than that, and you can't be complacent. So let's just hope, I don't know. Twitter, the thing about me that Twitter just allows it to happen. So they left it up for 12 hours. So it's not that the people will post. You can't avoid people posting shit. But it's still up 13, 14 hours later. So have they got the amount of staff to do it? But I think Ollie hit the nail on the head there. So don't give them any more time or tolerance. Fuck them. We've always done that at United. We're a broad church, cosmopolitan, and that's the way it should be. Right, so it's podcast 52. And I'm with Nathan, and the prodigal returns, Lazarus, Welshfield. So, how you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, Barry. I'm very well.
Good to have you here. Yeah, I mean that in many levels.
Very happy to be here, obviously. Feeling good. The team's looking positive. Got positive vibes at the moment. I'm a little bit concerned as the season goes on that the squad is a little bit thin on the ground in midfield and up front, purely because we're in the Europa League, and as the season goes on into winter, you invariably get injuries, you get a bit leggy, youngsters can't play week in, week out, 2-3 games a week. And I do look at the midfield and think we are going to struggle. Cup, you know, you look at the fixture list in December being a little bit of a, you know, you've got 8, 9, 10 games in December if you stay in the cup competitions, where you think, will the squad be able to cope?
We'd like to.
We've got enough players.
He's got a second string that could play every game of the group stages.
I think we'd lack a little bit of quality in midfield.
I think we're one or two injuries away. But I would say, like, I thought there was an overreaction post Wolves. Where we are right now, we may not like it, and I hate saying we're a target in third or fourth, but that is what we are doing. Let's not kid ourselves.
Looking at City and Liverpool last week,
no chance.
We're not at that level. I was pleased with both the Chelsea game. Admittedly, Chelsea feel a little bit disgruntled at getting beat 4-0. Wolves, I thought we played very well first half. I think the difference is we're playing with passion, we're playing with pace, we're playing with aggression, we're playing with everything we didn't have at the end
of
the season.
We're trying to find the quicker pass, and Rashford said that after the game. It takes time.
We look keener, we look more interested.
So we are going to draw at
Wolves. I think we're more positive.
We are. And with it's how
a win would have been a very good result there. A draw wasn't the end of the world, was it?
The goal that they scored was a world.
So,
another day.
Yeah. And we could have won with a penalty.
Were you bothered about it?
The penalty?
I think I overreacted after the game. I think I got a bit more annoyed.
At the game, when you're at the game, all you're involved in is looking at Pogba taking the penalty and hoping he scores. When he misses, you're pissed off that he hasn't scored. The fact that Rashford didn't take it, I think, is another story. Rashford really is a centre forward who scored a penalty like the previous week. He probably should have taken it. But, you know, let's not get hung up about it. If he'd have scored, nobody would have said anything. So,
and as I say, apart from the fucking idiots, my thing with Pogba and his form, he's been decent for me for the first two games. And whether, let's get in the bigger debate, for me, if he can be, with all this in his head, speculation, if he can be decent, then that makes a difference.
I think
we can't afford to lose him.
Personally, I think we're in a scenario.
Ronaldo scenario.
Yeah. You know, the club as a club has got to say to him, listen, Paul, put a good shift in for us this season. You can go next year. you'll get a good deal out of it, we'll get a good deal out of it, you'll go, everyone will be a little bit happier about the way you're going to leave, so, you know, do that for us.
Win-win for us.
Yeah. It's a win-win. We can't afford to let him go now, because our midfield isn't good enough without him. He pissed everybody off at the end of last season, big time, and regardless, all right, you mellow a little bit during the summer, maybe, but I know a lot of people are still unhappy about it, but if he puts a shift in and he plays and he scores and he assists,
he'll be forgiven for it.
He'll be forgiven.
He is an important player in that dressing room. I mean, in terms of, I think all the players think we tick if he ticks.
Yeah, he's iconic.
And whether you like that or not.
He's a big character.
Yeah.
Well, we have signed three good players. Harry Maguire, in my book, I think should be captain.
Yeah,
I think he's got that about him where he's playing in the right position to be captain. He's got that authority about him.
I love his big meaty slab.
I think he's a genuine footballer. He's a genuine footballer, old school, which we like anyway. He's got aggression, he's got passion, he seems to like to come to United. You know, at the end of the day, he could have gone to City. He has come to United.
Wan-Bissaka looks good.
Wan-Bissaka looks a great player.
And as a fellow, anything rude.
No.
I won't mention an animal.
No. So Daniel James looks... He's raw. And
did you know him? Obviously, you've been to a lot of Wales games.
I've seen him play for Wales, and the one thing I noticed in the one game I saw him against Slovakia in March, he was running down the wing in front of me in the main stand at Cardiff.
I was at that game.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what...
I was photographing at that game.
I'll tell you what, the one thing that stood out was his actual raw pace on the ball. He runs with the ball quickly, and he also runs after the ball quickly.
Yeah.
And there's not many players, or not many defenders, who like playing against raw pace. It doesn't matter. If the ball's past you, the only way to stop him is to stop the man. And I think...
He was trying crosses. I mean, he got cut out quite a lot, so he's got to learn when to distribute. He's fucking 21.
There were Swansea fans who actually watched him last season, said he had a good second half of the season, didn't do a lot first half, and he is raw, and he needs to work on his final ball. But he's 21, hasn't played a lot of first-team football, and they reckon, you know, with that sort of pace nurtured in a club like United, he could be a little bit of a fine for that sort of money.
Yeah.
And I like the look of him. I think he'd be good.
What about Sanchez? Would you bin him?
Yes.
He's clearly poisonous. I mean, no one wants him around.
Let's be honest, we'd all love him to turn out to be a 25-goal-a-season player who's going to assist a lot of goals. He's not going to be.
It's never going to happen.
So we've got to move on, and we've got to move on quickly. If we have to give him to Inter Milan and pay a little bit of his wages, personally, I'd let him go.
In a bit, I'm going to play you. I went out with two old school friends who are Arsenal fans and I asked them about that. I'm going to play that later. But I would say there's Norwich last week, Norwich scored a goal with a build-up play that I thought we are still not doing things like that, where you think the whole team knows what they're doing or is capable enough to have confidence in each other.
One-dimensional.
Yeah, a little bit one-dimensional. We are looking at playing on the break with pace, which it's lovely to watch when it happens, because you can break from one end of the pitch to the other, score a goal. It's magical to watch. But we haven't got a plan B particularly.
When you come up against teams that don't allow you to break them, you're just sat 10 men behind the ball.
That's going to be difficult. Yeah. We've got one or two other players. Like Samatta, he's not going to get much game time, but he is a player who can pick a pass. A little bit disappointing. I mean, I didn't realise why we didn't sign Fernandes a lot from Sporting. People reckon that his distribution.
They do like that.
He gave the ball away
too much. We offered him in March. That's what that agent was saying. Well, so
my personal look as a United fan is, he's a player who goes forward at every opportunity. He does give the ball away. Look at Pogba. Look at Fred.
Fred,
look at Sanchez. Sanchez has probably got the worst record of giving the ball away than any player I've ever seen.
Well, Fred can't even get a look in.
I'm not dissing Fred, because I think he's got to be given the chance at some point.
But the fact he isn't, Phil. I mean, you know, no great player these days ever gets left behind. You know, they don't get picked for a reason.
I watched Fernandes in a few games last year, and I've also seen him playing for Portugal. And the one thing about him is he goes forward at every opportunity. He shoots on sight. Now, you don't score the amount of goals he scored last year from midfield without having something about
him. As Nathan said, the fact that no one got him in the end.
Yeah, why?
What? I don't know. Or will he go next year for daft the money and we've missed? I do think we like Matt came on.
I think he would have been.
And Matt, a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
But he came on with 10 minutes. It was only 10 minutes to go. But he
can't influence a game.
No, he doesn't. where you can't
show up again.
You
can't show up again. He hasn't got height to block things at the back or make things happen up front, and he hasn't got the pace either. Lovely bloke, I agree, and I do like him.
Would you like a hug from him?
Well, obviously. But I also think he's the sort of player who can play in a home game when teams are sticking 10 behind the ball, where he has got that little bit of inventiveness that will bring players in. Yeah. And sometimes you need that. And I think he'll have his uses in the season.
But we're lucky, you know. I just want 62% of the pool's goals. I know, but we're lucky, aren't we?
And we've got that many great players that... Unfortunately, you can't replace any of the players that we've had with like for like, because they just don't exist.
Yeah, but I'd take 50% or, you know, someone who has the ability. I have to say that Villa kid last night.
Which one?
Not Grealish. The one we were sort of linked with for a couple of days.
No, again.
He looked very...
He looks...
I mean, raw, but...
Effective. I would say he was in a... I must admit, I've
become
him a little
fantasy
bit.
Football, you know. No, but no, I do think
I'd never heard of him. Yeah. I watched him a little bit last year, not really realising. I've watched him this season. He's an effective player who'll do a job in a team, but you've got to mould your team. He's got to have a position for him. So if you've got a position for him, you know, if we're keeping Pogba, which we are, obviously, you've got to make sure you make
who fits in for you two?
Pogba.
McTominay, Pogba, and who's the third?
McTominay's got to play at the moment because Matic is
holding
caravans.
Would you have Matic or would you?
No.
So who's your third? Pereira, Mata, Fred.
Pereira doesn't do enough for me personally. I think he's a good footballer, but I just don't think at the level we're at or we want, he does enough in a game. He goes missing. He's got a great touch. He can hit a ball, but I just don't think he offers enough 90 minutes.
That third position is the one that we're really struggling with, isn't it?
And Lingard. I think Lingard.
He scores some great goals for us, and he's a scorer of great goals.
Yeah, but not many.
No.
You remember the
good one. Yeah, what I'm saying is, he doesn't do enough for me to warrant a place in the team. Simple as that.
You were saying this.
But then you're two players short. So you're trying to get that.
Yeah. But I really think that Lingard.
We were saying this the other day when that.
He gloried on the World Cup.
Yeah, the assistant guy.
He gloried on the World Cup. He had a shocking season last year.
And he's 27,
isn't
he?
And he's 27. He's not a kid.
No.
You know, he should be now the authority. I'm playing there in number 10 or wherever I'm going to play. And I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He's not doing it.
Yeah.
Now,
I've said it every podcast
we want
for a year.
To succeed. We don't want anyone to fail. And
especially when
we've
got them
through. I know a lot of people are giving him a stick at the moment.
Yeah, he's getting a lot. But when was the last good game
exactly.
We had? Yeah. You're talking months.
The only way to,
months.
To silence a stick is to have a good game and score goals.
Yeah. But there's a buzz about
there.
People excited.
Well, you take it.
I've not seen you properly on the first game, but for Ollie, when the whole summer was doomed, we had the Glazer Out campaign, which I maintain was good. But we'll see maybe a dire death if we start winning, and it should be there all the time. Yeah. But for Ollie to turn it around, get enthusiasm going, get the players G'd up, to have everyone's got a bit of a buzz today. So that's a good thing.
I think so.
United, we've such a limited time on earth that we're here to have a nice time.
At the end of the day, we come today. I'm hoping and expecting to win today against the Palace side, which are on a little bit of a downer. And I'm coming expecting to see decent attacking football. I'm quite positive about today, and I hope I'm right.
Is that your hopes for the season? I mean, do you have
my hope for the season is that, you know, I think we are a top six side with potential to be a top four side, but my only feeling is Europa League drains the life out of most clubs that are in it, and regardless of whether you think Thursday, Sunday is any different to Wednesday, Saturday, we all know how it drains the clubs that are in it. Now my concern is that our squad, quality wise, from the depths of winter, when you're going away to the Armenia in November, then come back to Norwich and you know, all them sort of things, they drain a point. You don't win at Norwich because you lose it 2 points, so you end up like we did under Mourinho when we won it Europa League. We ended up 6th.
Well, we sacrificed the league for the last month.
You can't do both.
No.
Now, to me, we either played our second string in that Europa League and play our first string in the league.
I think you can get away with that.
Years ago, nine years ago. Yeah. Why not do that?
Because if it doesn't work,
nobody's going to be crying. Oh, yeah. We've won it.
I'd like to see Gomez get some minutes in there. And Garner is doing very well. So, your daft bastard is going to do them all. Who do you want?
I want new countries, obviously, somewhere I haven't been, you know, random country. you know, Armenia, Kazakhstan, something like that.
I just want Spain for a bit of warmth.
I'm such a pleb.
I just want Spain. Yeah,
so couple of new countries.
Right, so here's the thing for you, Phil. So you're big, obviously, applying for every away. So does this answer your question? This is from the fans forum in May, asking about the ballot, answering about the ballot system. So this is straightforward for you. The system uses a function within SQL called NUID, which generates a globally unique identifier, or GUID, by creating a hexadecimal interpretation of a mix of the computer's MAC address and a CPU clock value, thereby creating a pseudo-durandom fucking hell value. This value is applied to each application and the results are then ordered by this value.
Yeah,
have you got that?
Yeah, I've got that. What about the second page?
I mean, who fucking wrote that?
You're joking,
and the other thing, Nathan's clued up here. Someone said to me the other day, it was obviously a highbrow conversation and I'd had a few, United last season were like Schrodinger's cat. So this passed over my head. So I googled it and it says Schrodinger's cat is a thought experiment sometimes described as a paradox. Well, I get that, United were a paradox last season.
And it's either alive or dead.
Right, so scenario
because
presents.
You never know, it's both.
So this it presents a hypothetical cat that may be simultaneously both alive and dead. Dead, a state known as a quantum superstition. So my first thought was, we used to have a family of cats, and I can't stand them anymore because they the smell of the shit is always resonating with me. And I've got a cat who shits in my garden. So, were United like a Schrodinger's cat last season, yes or no?
Absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Right, on that note,
can I have another fight?
So what's your prediction today?
I think...
Hot weather. I've got the sun lotion on.
You've got the sun.
Marshall still have gloves on though.
Is it ambre select though?
Look at my hands. I don't know, it's a boot special.
Very nice.
Oh, first person I've who's told me I smell lovely in you. Right, come on, score.
Prediction today. I'll go for 3-1.
Yeah, I think that's what I know.
I think they might see one.
And your Zen's always good, Nathan.
2-0.
And you're buzzing about United right now, aren't you? You're excited.
Well, you just got to be, aren't you? Like I said before, going into off the end of last season, if you'd have said you're getting 4 points off Chelsea at home and Wolves away, you take it when you snap your hand off for that. You know, we're only 2 games in, but realistically, by the end of today, only one team could have won all 3 games. You know, there's only 2 teams that have won the first 2 games, and they're both playing each other today.
And I think, what do we want? Where are we? I understand the angst of United fans, but we cannot, every time we concede a goal, we can't melt down, because it's going to do us no good this season. It didn't do us good last season.
We could have won the other night, but a decent save, like some people saying it was a shit height, it was good height for the keeper. But if the keeper had just happened to go the other way, then we had a good performance and we were miles better than we were against them last season. So you don't take too many steps forward. We're already better than we were. Yeah. I know it's only two games. But we're already better than we were last season.
And so 6 points after these first 6 games, if we can get, I think, 13 points is possible.
We should win today. Next week against Southampton away, you'd think that...
Yeah, but they aren't in form.
That's another
is a hard ground to... But, let's see. Prove us wrong. That is the thing to United team. Prove us wrong, and then we're going to give you support even better than the last year. Because I think, Stretford in was... Although I couldn't hear it, seeing it back, they were giddy as fuck. They were bouncing. So it can only be a good thing, all this. So I'm happy. Right, our Zen's good. We'll speak after. Here's the two lates about Sanchez and Schrodinger's cat. I'm still none the wiser.
I don't know where that was.
All right. This is a side insert into whatever podcast it is. And I'm with two mates who I've known a long time, unfortunately.
Hey.
One of whom, James, can recite... Am I right in this?
Go on.
He can recite all the script for Carry On.
Yeah, most of them.
Hancock.
More important.
Georgia Mildridge.
No, not quite all the script.
But you're probably the only person on planet Earth who still watches Georgia Mildridge.
No, you're
and John, who went to school with. Right, so they're two Arsenal fans, unfortunately.
Where are my talents?
It gets a very short billing, doesn't
he? These are two mates I've known all my life.
Yeah.
God
and because
they
live local to you, they support the Arsenal. Yeah, you didn't want that, did you? Yes.
I want to know.
Yes.
Because I think Sanchez is the worst player. Worst signing. Worst signing. So what the fuck happened?
I don't know. The only thing I can suggest is that the fella is, if he wants to win you a game, he'll win you a game of football. He's a fantastic footballer. But clearly he's not bothered, is he? I'll take my half £1 million a week and I'll do whatever I want. At the Arsenal, it might be a big fish, small pool thing, whatever, but if he was in the team, you've got half a chance. Your place, it makes
was he a mad arse at your gaff, though? Was he arsey?
Hey, I don't know. I just,
did he ever go at players if it wasn't coming off?
He wasn't popular in the squad.
Right.
Right, but then when he came on the pitch and he was like wanting to win you a game, play well, he was there.
There's that thing at Palace when he scores and no one goes and celebrates with him because they know he's already decided to go and he's trying to call people in. He's a bit of that, a bit himself. But having said that, he wasn't the sort of player, interestingly, that would go on and just go through the motions. Every time he played, he'd put a shift in.
So we've
and
not
his shift,
seen that.
His shift no, for us. No, well, but why, his shift. Then? His shift for us was really quite telling. Invariably, it would be a.
I was so happy when we signed him.
And also,
well, that's because you've seen what he did for us.
But that's
what.
Also, I think that he was pretty generous. He wasn't the kind of. It's all about me scoring goals. He would lay the ball off. He would give other people chances. But the point was, somehow his ego's been inflated. He's been earning $400,000 a month, a week, or whatever it is. And he suddenly just woke up and gone, yeah, I'm done. Don't need to worry about it.
Do you think
and
that's what...
Mourinho,
but then,
it was
yeah, but Wenger. He's with Ollie, or is it too late?
Too
but
late,
with
yeah.
Chile in the summer, he looked interested again. Not saying... Yeah. I have to word it. I still think he looks a bit older than he actually does.
No. You get a motivated Sanchez, you've got an excellent player.
You're in a world where you cannot motivate Sanchez,
and I don't know how you change that.
But you're in a world where you cannot motivate a bloke on $400,000.
I think there's a balance. It's probably his family isn't particularly settled. He's not settled, but he's earning so much money. There's a balance of like, you know what? At the end of the day, thank you very much. Wham, bam, thank you, man.
Yeah, he's as good a footballer as you've got. But if you've got Rashford, who's more keen and will give you more in that effort, so why has he got a bother? He ain't got a bother, has he? That's a presume.
He's not even in the equation.
I'm surprised a senior pro who knows the ability that he's got won't give him the time of day in that respect, because I can't see how he'd get on and wouldn't give you something that would make you be very, like you said, when you signed him, you were very, very keen to see, have him, pleased you got him. Well, that's the same player. Why that would just literally go down because of the money, very odd. Very hard to comprehend. Don't know.
How did you feel when
I was gutted when he left. Yeah. Out of the two, you want to keep the pair, right? So that was Ozil and Sanchez. Alright, they kept Ozil. Well, you knew he was always slouching about whatever. At least Sanchez would give you that sort of effort, that intensity, and he'd give you an end product. But he was the one who, because of that, he was the one who demanded the money, got the money, and was happy to go. They could only keep one. They kept the one who was basically easy for them to go for.
Johnson Rennie.
No, I've got.
He's doing this.
I've got hiccups. That's what I've got there.
On that note. Yeah. But see, yeah, like...
It doesn't detract from my view of Sanchez and watching the Arsenal for 40 years.
No, I get that. But
Would Rennie help with hiccups?
James, the whole point...
I never understood the point of Rennie.
Why?
Because... I'll tell you why.
Who are you,
because... No. I never understood the point of him. But I never understood the point of Rennie for the fact that you could have... heartburn, and I'm just going to write it out. What, now I've got to go down and get a tablet? Yeah, no, a chalky tablet.
A chalky tablet. That's the world.
Yeah, it's absolute common.
We are dying.
He's more pregnant than me at the moment than talking about Sanchez.
We are.
And good luck to him and his 5.5 grand and whatever.
409,000.
There's a rumour
there's another 100 grand.
Yeah, but on image rights.
Yeah. Who's buying those?
How the fuck
does he still post Twitter images of him and his dogs?
Did he do that?
He did that at ours, and he was quite endearing with that because he scored the odd winner and he scored a winning goal in a cup. I don't want to really rub Villa's nose in it when he scored a screamer, but when it's he's not doing anything and still posting images of dogs, it's not a great view, is it really? No. Anyway, I thought he was great.
I don't think you got 6 minutes.
I'm just interested because he will go down for me right now as the worst, and I've seen Premier, but for the hype, the excitement. And we've seen some shit. We've seen Di Maria arrive on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I would say, I thought he had everything watching him.
Yes.
When we kind of couldn't keep him, right? He was brilliant for us. So the fact that we thought, oh my God, United have got a brilliant player. Very odd that something has just mentally gone wrong with him. Yeah. It's got to be mental.
He's got the lot. He's fantastic, and he'd be like, but only if he's driven. He's clearly not driven. Why he upsets me?
I think he'll go. Ollie's praised him for a hill.
He's asked to go, isn't he?
Well, I think.
For that kind of money, you think, well, you know what? There's a wage limit, even at United.
Yeah, but we'll need
him. Get rid of him.
I think we're one short, so we will need him if we get fucking an iota or something. Anyway,
who's he?
Sanchez.
No, I meant iota.
Oh, poor Jack. That's the massive fucking dose of reality we've just had served to us. It's all my giddiness, pre-match optimism, and then you see a game that wouldn't have been out of sorts from last season. We're in the pub. I don't want to end it like we did Cardiff, but the most disappointing thing was not they didn't tell us anything we didn't know about a lack of creativity, a lack of vision. We can't break these sort of teams down, and then we make fucking elementary errors to concede. But this, defeats always matter, of course, but there are some defeats which leave ripples, and this will tell every fucking team that we face at Old Trafford already that we're beatable. So it feels like, I mean, we kept telling ourselves we know the reality, but it feels like a right kick in the bollocks, this. So I'm with Shane and Nathan.
We went into it like positive, thinking we'll do it, but you could just tell from the start that, is it complacency already? Even like I said before, that 4 points off those two games, you'd take and you'd be happy with, compared to like last season, you know. But losing this today, it takes it back further than anything that you feel like you've
been. Well, we can't afford to lose next week. It's immediate pressure on him. Not that, you know, but we obviously got giddy. We obviously did. And that's not a fault, that's eternal optimism of a football fan. Shame.
I was just saying to Nathan there, getting drinks in, I just thought, once again, we just seem so fragile that just like one thing has to go wrong on the pitch, and then suddenly, you know, you start a little bit okay, and then, you know, brightly, but one thing happens wrong, and then suddenly, second to every ball, where you're winning tackles, you're losing them. You know, and that seemed to be infectious. Like, you can't like single out into, you know, like even their goal, Maguire was second to a header. Yeah, just, whereas previously it looked like he was, you know, in control of everything. It just seems to me that there's something there that is really, really fragile with this team in confidence. You know, what? And as you said, if a team comes with a little bit about them and starts putting himself about on the pitch, and suddenly you're thinking, I'm looking at it on one hand thinking, well, you know, like this, I'm just not picking on James, and James is looking quite lively, but then I look on the other wing and I'm thinking, yes, well, that's exactly, if you're looking at one fella you want in this team, it'd be Zaha. You know, he's, oh yeah. And it just seemed to be, like they, they just seem to be having us in
this is Crystal Palace who are in a relegation
who hadn't scored until today.
You can't look at today in isolation. I don't want to be where we're overreacting or reacting, but we lack a football intelligence and brains. Like I thought third game, I thought Pogba was our best player today. I don't know, I might be wrong there. He was trying stuff.
Yeah, but
McTominay had a nightmare. Rashford wasn't good. Marshall was anonymous.
I thought McTominay had a poor game, as they all do. I must admit, I was praising Pogba the last two games. I didn't see what you saw today. I thought he was quite...
he's trying stuff.
I think he was trying stuff, but I think he's also quite slacking. I don't know.
But he's the only one who will try switching.
That's true.
And I've been on his back, but I think we've got no one. I mean, and one thing with Ollie on Monday and today, why have you made your last sub that late? And as someone said, like Greenwood, all the excitement. In our third game, we're almost throwing the dice to bring him on, hope we can change it. But that's not the way. It's not McCady. You don't ease a player in.
But I don't think it's as... says he who didn't know his number nine, but it's not as complicated as we're making out, in the sense that I just thought he was, once again, it just looks basic to me that we're just second to challenges, second to the ball, not urgent enough. And I'm thinking, is that, they can't be. I used to think it's because certain players are not arsed. Is it confidence? Is it what? I just think
and ability. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. When was the last Jesse Lingard? His tries and can have his moment, industrious, but he's on a purely talented level. He's not got the ability to win his game. And like the clip I would have said, like Sanchez, I'm not saying that's done, but Sanchez won games for Arsenal, and I said this last year, who wins us a game when we're in the shit? But then if we'd have scored the...
Anyway, I just think...
how did we lose 2-1? Yeah,
To be honest with you, that's the kind of comedy, the dark comedy of this is. You kind of think, I said to the fact like Bob, who we know is next to me in the ground, we're kind of saying, well, actually, you go 1-0 down, and there's this kind of like resignation that this team can't break open a team, as you say, when they defend like they did. But then we finally do with a penalty, miss it, okay, a bit of bad luck. It's kind of fated in a way with what happened in the week. But then we finally do get the equaliser, and we're thinking, the only thing in our minds is, we've got quite a bit of injury time, we can win this, and we somehow contrived to lose that. I kind of thought we were a little bit kind of snatched at the game when we went ahead. When we drew.
We're quite a naive.
Yeah, so when we kind of, United of old, you can't compare with, but when we equalised, there was probably a good, a few minutes left, and it just, they weren't that composed on the ball.
There was over a minute of normal time, plus 5 minutes.
So you're looking at 6 or 7 minutes, and you're thinking, just compose yourselves a bit. The urgency was there for equalisers, and of course, you kind of like
it's the intelligence.
Yeah, and there's a bit of streetwise savvy was gone there. Anyway,
Nick didn't come today, but he said he's put in our group saying that we've got more points in those three games than we did last season. But and to me, like I said before, like those first two I saw as a massive improvement, but this has knocked it back lower, because we got a point against them last season but we've got none this season.
But it also suggests that we've got fault lines that we all feed. But Ollie kept saying, he's been saying, when adversity, how are the team going to respond? So we now need to go to... We've got still 3 winnable games ahead of us.
It puts... I just think you have summed it up there, really, don't you? The penalty is a micro example in a week. We kind of, put pressure on ourselves by, that fanning around. And I know it's probably just a bit of fate today, but put pressure. But losing today, I think, heaps a shed load of pressure on this team now.
But as I said,
they needed momentum, as we said, for the Chelsea game.
This is how they react. You can't keep doing the same things over and over again. But is that the one thing in the mag, when we met the agent on a boozy lunch after Ned Kelly, he got some things wrong, he got some things right. Wan-Bissaka, he said Allegri was leaving Juventus, and his thing was, he'd had contact with Ollie's people, who thought he only had him himself only thought he had 12 games to impose himself this season. He might have been talking bollocks. But if it was true, my thing is, not that it suggests that Ollie doesn't feel he has favour from the men above him. So if that... It's like the whole thing is not being held together strongly.
No, but this thing, like, Ollie's not like, for whatever, like, he might be naive and fairly an experienced manager, but he's not a stupid man. He's a clever, clever man. And he knows what's above him. He knows that's probably a true
statement.
Yeah,
but we haven't even talked about that. I mean, look how we all know we were two players at least sure this week, and it comes home to roost on games like this.
I think it's unfair. Like, I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter, which I kind of largely ignored, but there's a lot of people saying, Ollie, you know, I think you said it in the mag, which is spot on, is that you can't expect Ollie to come out and slag off his bosses. And quite rightly, he's going to praise the players. At the end of the day, the transfer window closes. He's got who he's got. And as Ferguson done, as every decent manager does, he's going to praise those players. But deep down, he knows he hasn't got the players he needs to do what he wants.
And also, Ferguson saying we can't get rid of him.
That's right,
So we cannot get him. So this is down to fucking Woodward's
team.
But Ollie's team, after all that happened at the end of last season, should go out there and win.
The truth is always somewhere halfway between. The team that went out today, and I don't care, like everyone says, there's no easy game in the Premier League. The team that went out today should have beaten Crystal Palace. There's no doubt in that.
I don't want to keep being in the depths. I don't want to keep coming to the same.
But the positives are, it's very sunny. I have a pint of lager.
But that's right. Everyone was so happy.
I was so 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday.
Don't keep letting us down, I just want to. Especially, right, as I say, you can expect, the first defeat was a rude awakening against, say, Liverpool at home. Or, not that you'd like, you know, but you can expect hurdle. But you don't want to go third day and think you've just had a big kick in the bollocks at
home. Not being funny, a team like, I mean, shouldn't be, game by game, but a team like City or Liverpool, you dread to think what would have happened today with that sort of performance. So you need to, and my hope was that we'd build through this start, like a home to Palace, you'd think you'd kind of cement your start.
Well, I honestly thought we wouldn't lose the first game.
And it's about a kind of bit of momentum and a bit of confidence in this team. And I think the fragility of the squad means that, as you said, Southampton now becomes this like massive game.
I know fuck all about football and United, time and time. But I didn't see today coming at all. Nathan.
I think it.
We know where Fred is. He's playing at Reading Festival because Shane's son seeing Fred.
Talking about,
So that's that. I mean, there we go. I mean, because if you're not playing well, you bring on your subs. But everyone that Ollie has said, we're a squad team this season, and I don't want to. But you know, they're not coming on. They're not getting minutes when we're playing badly. So where is Pereira? If he's this Brazilian, I've got faith in him to play 25 games this season. You told me we'd get an Ollie fist bump today.
I was confident today. I think the sunshine and the thought of a few points. I don't know. I'm a bit kind of reflective today because you can't let it. Like, to be honest with you, we have a drink now and we'll have a good time and. We'll always have a good time coming to United, as we've said many times. But that was, if that's a signal for the season ahead, we're in for a fucking tough one, because that is a good thing. Yeah. I actually said to a mate before, I'm going to cut down the drinking. I'm only going to drink before or after a game. And today, because of the sunshine, I had 2 pints before. And I've already at half time I've abandoned plans. It's like drinking before and after, and I never usually drink on the concourse. I'm thinking of today, like Bob, we're thinking of actually before, during and after is a new policy. I think it's the only way.
I'm struck. The steward who gave me grief last game, today we became friends and he's got a copy of Red News. So there is a sign that.
It's like a music thing. I got the train this morning and as I was going through the ticket barrier, I found a paper ticket on the floor for today's game. So I picked it up and I made a gamble which train, like my train, they were getting on. So I gave the ticket to the guard. And he made a few announcements on the train. Anyone lost a ticket, if you come to me with the seat number, you get it back. And as I got off the train, I said to the guard, you know, did anyone find that? Yeah, did anyone claim the ticket? And he said, oh yeah, two old fellas used to go up in the 70s. They're having a bit of a reunion. They've come up for the game ages. They got your ticket. And he was adamant he wanted to find the bloke who handed it in to buy him a pint.
Really?
Well, actually, and the guard said, I won't find him now, the train's packed, but you know, I'm sure he'll be. So anyway, I said to the guard, was getting off, and said, well, it's nice to know he got back. Now, the fella now will be coming to me saying, you can fucking have it back, you stupid wanker, why did you hand it in? Fucking hell. I've gone from doing a good deed to feeling guilty. But anyway, I don't know.
There's our United life is far beyond. Like, I went out Thursday, and when I'm getting old, I was fucking in. Albert woke me up 6 o'clock in the morning bouncing around my head. I was in bits. I can't do that anymore. But you meet your mates outside of it. And I said on the bus back then, this is normal for most football fans.
Yeah, that's right,
have been. But Fergie left us. I know he left an aging team, but he left us in a better fucking shape than we are.
Well, I was talking to.
How have we let it?
Well, I was just saying to you, and I said it in a week, that myself and my wife are watching. There's some fishing program with Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse, show, and Bob Mortimer. Vic Reeves sort of comedy driver, and they both have had heart problems, so the series is, you know, they go on these fishing trips. It's the second series, but there was one in the week, and it's a nice little watch.
Don't make me cry in a minute.
It's a nice little watch.
I can't get any lower.
But there was some poor lad on there. They went fishing in Scotland or something, but that's like the sort of like we do to go to football. It's like an excuse to go out. And there was fishing some salmon run in Scotland, and there was some, they bumped into some old fellow, and Bob Mortimer, I think, went to talk to him, and the fellow had cancer. He's an old fellow, and it was quite poignant, because the fellow was sort of saying, oh, he's had all his chemotherapy, and kind of inferring that, you know, it was his last days, but the fishing was his best tonic in life. And I welled up, and Bob Mortimer turned around, and he goes, he suffered from a lot of depression, which I hadn't realised. He talks about that. And he was saying to the fella, he goes, well, I can relate to you, because when I had depression, he goes, one time I was at a Middlesbrough game, and when they scored, I jumped up. And he goes, and when I jumped up, I realised, this is my cure. I've been told this, this is why I come. This is my cure. And I was thinking, a very good way of summing up football is, like, it's not about, it's just about what it's escapism, and hard to explain, being with your mates and having a passion for something that doesn't, kind of, is it Ancelotti who said, you know, the least important, the least important things.
I said I'd never mention those Scouse fuckers again, what they did. But me and you had this conversation, and this is some non-United fans, my missus would go, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
But I got sad, because I thought, in my lifetime, I'll never see us overtake them. And I always thought, especially with Fergie, we'll do it. We'll do them in the league, and we'll do them. And any fucker listening will revel in it if it's them. And that's a cocksucking kick up the bollocks we had to start the summer. And I feel.
Well, I was saying to you, like, my lad's sort of 16, he didn't come to games today, he's gone to Reading Festival, he's a season to go
to see Fred.
But he's gone to see Fred, who's he's a rapper,
not Sanchez,
not our little midfielder that doesn't appear anymore. But I was kind of like, in a way, you know, I text him as well, he texts straight back. But I was kind of like, in a way, thinking, you know, like, first of all, I'm thinking, thank fuck he's gone, because he's having a time of his life. But when you think about it, like, I think there's a massive chance that I will never see United win a European Cup with him. And that was my kind of... And I said this, but it won't happen. It won't. But the fact of the matter is... But you just said it. I've seen... My son's only 16. He's in the flesh, he's seen United win the league. He's seen them win every domestic trophy.
Yeah.
They won the Europa League. So there was Palace fans there today... thinking just one trophy while I'm alive.
Yeah.
So I know we should judge by United standards. We should, but we have to be grateful.
Because when you're on a pedestal, you don't, or a mountain, exactly, to use Ollie's analogy, you don't fucking slip off it and then say, you know, this is acceptable.
I know. Yeah, it's not acceptable. I'm not excusing it.
No, I know. I get what you're saying, but this is why I always pose it back at Woodward and Arnold. You boast every fucking investor pool. We're the biggest. We've got the app. We've got now a billion. Oh, 590 wasn't good enough. We've got to have a billion. Fuck off. Bollocks. But if you're doing that, you've got to back it up on the pitch. Because I'll tell you what, the billion we know is a load of bollocks. But the world, who doesn't care about United like everyone, you know, they will fuck us up. We will have the diehards we've always had, wherever they are in the world. But no one wants to be associated, apart from the lunatics in the asylum, like us lot, with a tarnished bad brand.
And I do actually fear, today actually I was, and I'm not going to judge other sport through the top red thing, but there was this fucking like VAR stuff. It,
I never thought I'd hear United. I'll track the shout VAR.
And then the VAR, follow on.
Come on, for one sec. We're in the strategy today. So that's a positive. Come on. Cheers for the bin. You in the Stretford end, and that's been positive. It's been good. But we can't hear it.
You can't hear it.
We can see you move.
Yeah.
You can hear it. But Nathan, you can hear it at the start of the
bin. Nathan's view was, you know, you need a corner, and we obviously need the whole leg. But so you're doing your bit.
I'm trying. But it was a bit strange today because it's still half family stand.
Exactly, yeah.
So we were, there was a guy next to me, and then there's a dad and his lad sat down. So it's really weird.
But you're making an effort. The first game I thought you did. So there's encouraging signs, but it's got to get extended around. Yeah. You've got to get rid of those empty seats that the club are not letting you use.
Yeah. But they took 85 seats off us as well.
But why?
I don't know. They just.
So what do you mean, Rumble?
Yeah. Disappointing.
Are we reading too much into it? That it could be a bad sign for the months ahead.
We did it against Wolves. We couldn't unlock them, really. And today, they just sat back, didn't they? They just didn't want to play.
Butler scored two goals. So they're perfect game plan. Yeah. And we have struggled for years with teams like that. We don't seem to have.
We did much ado about nothing today, really. We just ran about a lot. Didn't really create anything, did we?
I thought the subs so late was disappointing. This is like just selling misery, isn't it? Thanks for listening to misery every couple of weeks.
My tip of the day is fuck off Match of the Day and Google Pam and Woodward of the Banana Armour fame.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Woodward's sister or something.
Not that Woodward. The Karen Woodward.
England are doing all right in the cricket.
Are they? They're going to win the cricket. No, there's always hope, Shane. You've got to have hope as a United fan, especially, but.
You open draw.
I just think. I've been so. Every time I say, don't react to a game immediately, and I'm buzzing as giddy, and then I'm down as fun. I've just got a bad feeling. Every team now comes going, we can beat us.
So positive, we fancy it. So James scored again, and it was a tidy finish.
I just don't want him to be a diver.
I didn't see if he dives there. Was it a dive? I don't know.
But it's just saying about the VAR. VAR. Are we miserable, fucks? VAR. Tell me you didn't see.
No, but the thing is, United, it's like the whole fucking delayed reaction is, we can all see that the referee's got an earpiece. Like today,
you're bringing a new rule, let the fucker go off the side of the pitch.
But yeah, exactly. But what? But one of the decisions today, or whatever, was the reviews. By the time it came on the scoreboard, you already knew it was a review. And by the time it came back on the scoreboard, it was over. And some not knocking the kind of fucking voice that comes on. It was over. There's a fucking corner been taken. And they put the goal
to. I hope she's got a pay rise because she, as someone put on the forum, she used to tell people about the fucking car parks stuck outside. So now she's getting the VAR.
Well, she needs to be a bit quicker off the mark because she announced.
Don't even get me started.
She announced the VAR review was over when the fucking corner had been taken. taken, gone behind, and then goalkeeper.
Football in the last few years is a cock sucking fucking environment. I'm just, come on, Nathan. You.
I'm just disappointed. I think, but. I don't know.
Well, we got to respond. You can't.
I think I'm more disappointed because it's not about letting yourself get carried away, but it's just like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's like Andy on, who runs the Facebook page. He always says, "Stop saying you're disappointed with Anthony Marshall dropping at Chelsea." Which, but I feel like they're my kid. I'm just disappointed in you lads. You know, like. Why do you keep doing this to us? You're better than this. Even with all our problems, we are better than this.
Well, some of you know, like, my lad plays football. He's like, it's under 18s now, but it was under 16s last season. And as I said, probably know fuck all about football, but we run the team, and I sometimes stand at United game and we sort of say, oh, we should get beyond the team. But we bollock some of the under-16s for less. You know, just kind of, and that's the kind of, I actually think we're getting that bad. In certain games on today, and you said it from the off, didn't you, that kind of, just from the start today, everything seemed
to be...
You can tell, but we said after 10 minutes, we are struggling to invent it. It's like this fragile squad. It has to start well, otherwise it doesn't end well. And you kind of think, a team with something about it would be able to turn that around on the pitch. They can't seem to be able to do that. And I think...
It's a night, like... What are you going to do, Tony Soprano?
An interesting thing. I've never watched an episode of Sopranos.
Yeah.
And
you've done it.
I'm on the brink of downloading.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm going to New York in October. So
another day. Fred will play next week. So Fred will play the week after. So you lot
have had the Sopranos and you've had United.
Yeah, that's it.
I've still got it to look forward to.
I'm enjoying Deadwood. Deadwood is fucking
magnificent. I've still got Sopranos. It's all ahead of me.
It's one of the best things I've ever seen. Watch it, everyone. That'll cheer you up. Abuse, language, a bit of the old nudity if you're still into that.
It depends who's nude, Barney. That's a problem. If it's you, I'm probably not. Oh,
those days are gone. I don't even show leg these days. All right, thanks, everyone. Thanks all aboard the mag. And to Nathan again for standing in it. All right, bye.